Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and with me here in studio is the host of Money Life and Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we are going to open up your inbox and read some emails and some questions from our listeners and share some of their stories.
Well, Dave, I do enjoy answering questions from our listeners, and I appreciate their feedback. Many times it helps us to know how to respond to some of the bigger issues. It is the basis for some of our teaching programs, as well as some of the interviews that we do. So if you want to write me, you can do so at chuckbentley@crown.org, and I will either try to answer that question, or somebody that can back me up if the box gets too full will answer the question for you. Or we'll deal with it on the air. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to share a very encouraging testimony that came in just recently at the end of today's broadcast. So I'd love to hear from you. Be sure and send me your questions.
Well, Chuck, if you're ready, let's just jump right in. This first one comes from Charlie, and he writes, I listen often, and I read the Money Life-related content page on your website if I'm unable to listen. I love the programs and the godly advice you give. I always hear you discuss the importance of a husband and wife being one in their financial purpose. But here's my dilemma. My wife is disabled and requires a lot of care, so I have to make almost all our financial decisions on my own. We discuss the finances, but my wife can't grasp the concepts due to her disability. So, she usually tells me to do what I feel is right because she has full confidence in me. But I feel many times that I'm going against God's will by not discussing every move with my wife. This is a lonely journey, and I would love to have her input and help, but that doesn't seem possible. Am I handling this right, or should I be doing something different?
Well, this is a very touching question. You can just hear the godliness and the depth of love that this particular man has for his wife. And thank you so much for writing. I just admire your commitment to her. I have no idea how old you are, but you really ask a question about yourself. So I would recommend that in the absence of having the input of your wife, that you form an advisory group, a group of godly counselors, people that can give you input just to bounce your thoughts and ideas off of, to see if they agree with you. Maybe some men in the church, some people that you know that you really, really trust that can sort of look over your shoulder. And then I would record those in a journal so that your wife is aware that you're making every effort to do the right thing when you're making financial decisions on behalf of the two of you.
Well, Chuck, that's good advice for anyone to have that kind of information readily available. Well, today we're answering your questions. We'll take a short break and be right back. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
It can be a challenge at times to talk with your spouse about money. Husbands and wives have a harder time discussing finances than just about anything else. God doesn't want money to divide relationships. He wants your marriage and finances to grow stronger. Learn how in Money and Marriage God's Way, a new book from Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Howard Dayton. With unique sections for engaged couples, blended families, empty nesters, and even stay-at-home parents, Money and Marriage God's Way addresses common problems using biblical principles and practical advice. And as a bonus, there's a companion website with tools, including a thorough online assessment to help couples understand their financial personalities in order to work together and solve their money challenges and set financial goals. Get Money and Marriage God's Way at 1-800-722-1976. An audiobook is also available at 1-800-722-1976 and crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and today we are answering your questions. And if you'd like to ask Chuck a question, you can write him directly at chuckbentley@crown.org. And Chuck, this next question comes from Rick, and it is an interesting scripture question. He writes, I've bought $3,000 worth of gold coins, but a friend of mine who owns much more noticed that James 5:3 says, in the last days, silver will canker and gold will rust. Has that ever happened? Is that what's going to happen in the future? I'd like to hear your interpretation of that verse.
Well, it's a great question and one that's on many people's mind. There's, in fact, sort of a gold rush going on today, Dave. There are now home parties where people go into homes and basically make a bid to buy the used gold items laying around people's houses. Everywhere you turn, there's an advertisement to buy gold. Interestingly enough, gold is at a record high right now, and I'm very concerned that people are, in fact, buying at the top of the market because the price of gold is not typically raised a lot by its primary use, which is in jewelry. About 70% of the gold consumed in the world is used in jewelry, and there's not a jewelry boom going on right now. What's happening is there's a fear boom, and because of fear, people are rushing into the form of currency that dates all the way back to the scripture, silver and gold. Now, what the Lord knew when he wrote this verse is that people would rush for security in fixed assets, in hard currency like silver and gold. So he knew that we would have a tendency to place our confidence in those things. And what he's using James to tell us and to warn us about here is that that's not a good decision to place your confidence in something that, even though it's been trusted throughout the centuries as the most reliable form of currency on the face of the earth, that too will be destroyed. It will one day fade away. It will become worthless. So don't get caught up in the fear that all of your security is placed in these gold coins, in this gold bullion, in these investments that you think are going to protect you. The ultimate form of security and protection is in the Lord. Gold and silver will not protect you. So I think that's what James is trying to say here. It's really counterintuitive, because we all want to protect ourselves. And what we're going to see is a continued gold rush. Anytime there's prevailing fear, we're going to see people rush to gold for security. And he's telling us as believers, your security is not going to be there.
Chuck, I think we'd agree that that kind of hoarding is dangerous and unwise, but there's got to be a balance here about being prudently prepared for disaster.
Well, Dave, that's exactly where we have to come to a balance between faith and practicality. It reminds me of the dilemma that Hudson Taylor faced as he was sailing across the ocean to go to China to serve the Lord. And he was completely sold out. He was full of faith. And a storm came up and people were scared to death. And he did not want to demonstrate that he was afraid, but he was thinking about grabbing a life jacket and hanging on to it, you know. And he said while he was in this dilemma of should I grab the life jacket or not, the Lord spoke to him. And he said, Hudson, I provided means to take care of you. Those means, using those means, do not negate your faith. So he went and put on a life jacket. But he still went to China, and he still walked by faith. And I think that's where you're going with this. Mm. What can we do to be prepared, to be wise, to be prudent? One thing you can do is it's okay to buy gold and silver. It's okay to diversify some of your investments there. But it's not okay to put your hope and confidence and security in those things, because the Lord tells us in advance they're not going to be worthwhile. So some practical things you can do: diversify your portfolio. That's wise. Have a variety of investments, but don't put your dependency in them. For instance, in our home, I think it's more important to have food on hand than it is to have gold on hand, at least for us. So we're keeping 1 month's food supply in our home. I think it's wise to have a month or more of living expenses in cash safely stored in your home. This will allow you to be prepared in case of any unforeseen emergencies. I think it's also important that the body of Christ becomes prepared to help each other. So make prudent, wise, practical decisions. Prepare. Be wise, but don't put your faith and confidence in it. God is your only source of security, and ultimately history is going to prove him to be right.
Well, if you'd like to do a little more study on that, we have several verses that are available on our related content page. You just go to crown.org/radio and click on that related content, and you'll find those verses there. Chuck, the next question comes from Tracy, and she writes, I have a question about following the plan on the money map. If I save up 3 months of living expenses and then I have to buy a new car, should I use my 3 months of living expenses to pay for the new car and then start saving up the 3 months of living expenses all over again?
Well, Tracy, thanks for writing and asking this question, because I do want you to be successful following the plan on the money map. It is the easiest plan to follow that I know of. Now, here's your dilemma, I think, and I'm going to make an assumption because you didn't say this in your question, but it looks like you're going to have to borrow money to buy a car if you don't use your emergency savings account. Now, the true purpose of having 3 months of your living expenses in an emergency account is to save them for an emergency. And it's never wise to spend your emergency savings account unless it's truly emergency. Now, if your car is entirely broken down, it will not run, you cannot get it repaired, and you're going to have to do something else, then yes, go to your emergency fund as opposed to going in debt, and then start over rebuilding your emergency fund. I think it's a much wiser decision to pay cash for a car if you have no financial margin. Don't load up a lot of debt on a car. So use your emergency fund, and my recommendation is if you have, let's say, $3,000 in that fund, then only buy a $2,000 car. I know that sounds hard, but you can do it, and that leaves you some cushion left in your fund while you start to rebuild.
Well, if you'd like to find out more about the Money Map, go to our website at crown.org and click on the Money Map banner. Chuck, the next question is another budget-related question, and a listener writes, what is the difference between Crown Envelopes and the Money Map financial software? I registered for Crown Envelopes and am currently on a free trial of the service. Are there any significant differences whereby it would be worth having the software as well?
That's a great question, and you definitely do not need both of those tools. It depends on how you prefer to do your budgeting. The main advantage of Crown Envelopes is that it allows you to do online banking. So if you prefer to do your banking online, then it's set up to do that, and there's no double entry of your data. But the software is also very safe and very effective, but I would choose one or the other depending upon how you prefer to store your data and whether or not you do online banking.
Well, if you'd like to find out more about Crown Envelopes or the Money Map financial software, just go to crown.org. We'll take a short break and be back with more of your questions. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And we're answering your questions today. If you'd like to ask Chuck a question, you can write him directly at chuckbentley@crown.org. Chuck, this next question comes from a listener in Olmsted, Ohio, and she writes, thank you so much for your ministry. My husband and I used to listen to Larry Burkett, then Howard Dayton, and now you. I've learned so much from all three of you and continue to listen to Money Life and My Money Life through podcasting. God has used the Money Map to help us become debt-free and have 2 to 3 months of living expenses and start saving for future purchases. I have a question about credit cards. My husband and I believe that we should consolidate and hold as few cards as possible. We don't have that many, but are thinking about cutting down to 3 cards with each having a specific use. 2 of the cards we're thinking of canceling are in my husband's name, so we're not sure if we should keep them to protect his credit. He's self-employed and not working currently. Would it be okay to cancel the cards that we don't use rather than leave them open with no activity, and, in addition, cancel the cards that are the only credit in my husband's name?
Well, first, Laurel, in Ohio, thank you for writing us, and I am so encouraged by the progress that you're making and your faithfulness to be able to be debt-free, 2 to 3 months of living expenses in an emergency account and saving for future purchases. You are doing a great job, so keep it up. I also agree with your philosophy of narrowing down your credit cards to just a couple. In fact, Ann and I only use one credit card, period, and we try to limit our use of that. Now, if your husband's self-employed and he's not working at this time, it's going to be very difficult for him to obtain credit in the future. So I would suggest that you keep at least one card that's in his name, and then you keep one card that's in your name. But I would begin to cancel all the other cards, work out of those, get rid of them, and then learn to limit any transactions for these cards. It's wise to have a credit card. I'm not one of these that think that they're evil. I think there's some bad practices going on, and you don't need to be held hostage to your credit card company. So be able to walk away from it, be in a position where you're not dependent on a credit limit at all from those cards, but use them for conveniences and only as necessary, and I think you'll be just fine. But I agree with your philosophy. Get rid of a lot of those cards, narrow it down, and really manage them well.
Chuck, this next question comes from a listener in Fort Myers, Florida, and she writes, I listen to you whenever I can, and thank you for your ministry. My husband and I want to open a small Japanese-Korean restaurant, but we need help in getting additional financing. My husband has been a sushi chef for 10 years, and we recently found a deli restaurant that closed and has all the equipment we need. The lease price is $3,000 a month with a $5,000 deposit. Seems reasonable for the location, which is on one of the main streets in Fort Myers, Florida. However, some improvements in the facilities will be needed. Are there any programs or grants that we can apply to for financial help to open a restaurant? Our credit is not the best due to some short sale properties, but I think it's a great opportunity for us to open a restaurant. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you for the kind words about our program. I'm excited with your entrepreneurial ideas, but I'm concerned about the red flags that you have sent up. If you have poor credit or weak credit going into this endeavor, I think it's going to be very hard to get SBA assistance. And also, it may be that you're not in a position to underwrite or cash flow a new startup right now. So I want to be sure that you hear me. I don't think it's a great idea to go to the SBA and try to get more financing if you're not in a position to really ride out starting a new endeavor. Eating out has gone down, so opening a business without a lot of cash reserves may not be the best idea. Some people say starting a business is like having a baby. You cry yourself to sleep at night for about the first year, and then it takes about 2 years before you can stand on your own. So you need to be very well prepared financially for that decision. So instead of finding ways to borrow money, let me give you two alternatives. First, consider starting on a small scale without the lease. Find out if you can do catering from your home, or you can make up sushi meals that you sell to a specialty grocery store or some other outlet where you don't have to host people in a restaurant and have that overhead. Another option is simply to find a place where your husband could go to work for an existing restaurant and help them build their business and possibly earn equity or a partnership. Or look for financing among family and friends that would have more favorable terms for you that you feel confident you could pay back versus a traditional commercial loan. I hope that helps, and stay in touch. We'd love to know how you're doing.
Chuck, this next question comes from Jason in Florida, and he writes, I own my own business, and about a year and a half ago, my business started to go down. I needed to reduce my income, so I cut back in all areas of my business and my home expenses. Well, about a year ago, I tried to do a modification on my mortgage while using credit cards to stay current. Now I have no more credit to use, and I'm making late payments. I've had my home for sale for a couple of months, but I'm about $100,000 upside down on it. My realtor is suggesting I move towards a short sale. However, I want to honor God, and I'm not sure what to do. What do you think?
Well, Jason, I think you're making some very wise decisions that will help improve your financial condition, but I am not convinced that a short sale is the answer to your problem. If you want to honor God, I would first go back to your lender and ask them to restructure your mortgage note. If you're $100,000 upside down, that's going to be a very significant loss for you. And I would prefer to see you restructure the note and hang in there. There's a lot of misinformation out there today that a short sale is less damaging to your credit than a foreclosure. It's easier and smoother to walk away from that. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. There's a lot of challenges ahead, even if you go through a short sale. So my advice would be to restructure your existing note. Try to get some relief on your terms, on your interest rate, whatever it may be that allows you to continue to purchase the home that you've made a commitment to live in. That would honor God. It's going to require faithfulness. It's going to require tenacity. It's going to be difficult. But over time, you're demonstrating character and integrity, and that's what the Lord wants.
You're listening to Money Life. We'll take a short break and be right back.
The Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. This package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. With three colorful compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C, your kids will learn to give, save, and spend. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through a compelling story, simple Bible studies, and fun hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Help create the right financial habits in your children by investing in their future with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And in that last segment, we talked a bit about short sales and foreclosures. And there's an interesting and helpful article that we've placed on our related content page for you if you'd like to do a little more research. You can find that article at crown.org/radio and then click on the related content page for today's program. Chuck, at the top of the program, you mentioned that you recently received an encouraging email from a listener, and you were going to share it with us.
Well, I received lots of those, and this one was especially meaningful to me. It's from Regina in Central Indiana. She said, "My husband is a Crown volunteer and an online money map coach. After seeing the info on God Provides, he immediately purchased it himself and asked to do a 6-week series in our home on Sunday nights. Last week, we watched The Widow and the Oil, and our attendance increased from 24 people the previous week to 50 people, and we ran out of study guides. This week, we watched Jeremiah's Call, and we had 60 people. Doug had to order more study guides. We're having open discussions, and we're worshiping as families. I think the most humbling and encouraging thing for us is when we got on Facebook, we learned that one of the 21-year-olds attending had posted Jeremiah 29:11 as his status right now. And a 30-something mom posted that she had been touched by the messages, and as a teacher, she was going to try to look at life events with hope and a future. It's amazing to see how God's Word is at work in our lives. Thank you for God Provides."
Well, this God Provides film learning experience is one of the most exciting new resources that is available through Crown. And we have a very special live event that's coming up in just a couple of days.
We are so excited to be going on the road. We have two events coming up, and I want to give a special invitation to all of our Money Life listeners in Atlanta and Chattanooga to come out and join us. We're making these very, very easy for you. They're on Thursday evenings. Atlanta is February the 11th. Chattanooga is February the 18th. They start at 7, end at 8:30. They're family friendly, and they're free. I'm going to be there. I'll be doing some teaching after each one of these stories, and I really hope to be able to meet you. I'd love it if you'd let us know that you're coming. Would you go to crown.org/register, sign up, get directions and all the important information. I promise to end on time so you can get the kids home in bed on time, but please come out and say hello.
Well, again, those dates are Atlanta, February 11th at Hebron Baptist Church, and Chattanooga just the next week on February 18th at Ridgedale Baptist Church. Again, the events start at 7 and end by 8:30. and there is no charge, but we do ask you to register. So go to crown.org/register to sign up, get directions, and other important information. Well, we're out of time for today's program. If you'd like to hear it again, you can go to crown.org/radio and listen to it online 24 hours a day. Or you can sign up for the free podcast as well, and all that information is available at crown.org. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.